It's Greg and Dan show on WMBD. Greg Batten, Dan DiOrio, Mark Algini filling in for Danny over the last month as Danny went off on an adventure. Dan said to himself, you know what I need to do? I need to be in a hospital for a while. And so he did.
I think it's the last
one. One of the very first things Dan DiOrio texted me, one of the very first texts from the hospital was three words, unexpected to me. Hospitals are nice. I did not expect that, Dan DiOrio. Good morning, sir.
Hey, you remembered to put me on.
Shut up.
So a member of my family said, hey, you get on, you're touching this and your fan. Maybe you should start to be a little more honest. So I'm going to do that this morning.
Okay.
If you ask me, was it life and death? I will answer this. So remember now, at 4 a.m, I'm in a guest room because I'm sick, hovering over probably a small quarter bag, like a garbage bag. I'm hovering over a small garbage bag of steaming bile.
Okay, thank you. Wait. I want to make sure people understand this. This is before you've gone to the hospital.
No, and this is the point.
Wait a minute. Right? No, you're home. Mr. You're home.
What?
You're home. Home. Yeah, you're home in this scenario. Okay, all right.
It's 4 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Okay.
And this is the statement. Now, the statement you just said, hospitals are nice, shocked you.
Yeah.
This statement, you knowing me, will also shock you. Okay. My son happened to be up going to the bathroom. And I said, Colin, he walked in and immediately backed up. He goes, what the hell is that smell? Because, okay. So I said at that point, tell mom we're going to the emergency room now. Greg, to you, that is as equally shocking
yes.
of a statement.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's unbelievable. So, it's unbelievable that you said those words ever. And I'm so proud of you for coming to that conclusion. By the way, you said a good band name there a minute ago when you were describing the bag. We all heard it. We all thought it. I'm not saying it. Okay?
Yeah. It's like a Megadeth band, right?
Yes, exactly. It would totally be a Megadeth band.
So we get to the waiting room. It's kind of busy. And I'm because of, you know, I expunged things. I'm feeling okay. And I'm feeling okay because now I'm at the emergency room. So we wait about 4 hours, okay, and we get in a hallway because it's kind of busy over there on a bed. A person comes up to me. They run a quick test, and within 3 hours, this person, who, by the way, happened to turn out to be one of the surgeons, said, we are going to have to stick this tube down your throat. And he goes, I've never had it done to me. I'm Italian. Frankly, I don't know what I would do to the person who did it because I've heard about it. But he goes, it's a nice guy and blah, blah. So within, I don't know, an hour, I've got a tube now. Me.
Okay.
And he goes, we have to put the tube down you so we can do surgery Thursday morning. Okay. I'm not computing the gravity of that statement because I'm immediately thinking I'm going to be in the hospital. Can I have my fan? Okay.
Right.
So interpreting that, if they didn't have to put the tube down to do the job, they would have slashed me open Tuesday morning. Okay.
All right.
So that's called emergency surgery.
Correct.
So was it life or death? Let me put it this way. If you were at a casino, there would have been odds on the board, and I don't know what they are, to bet against me.
Okay.
Okay. So my family, immediate family, my loved ones here in the house, and my brothers and sisters in Chicago, one of them, my sister Mary Ann, who went to nursing school at Loyola and worked her way up to about every position in the medical community at one point for a major insurance firm, talking to high-level surgeons about rare disorders and what they have to do for a certain patient and blah, blah, blah. They always tell you, don't read my chart. You won't understand it. Well, my sister can read my chart, and everyone's calling her, and they're like, what's going on? She goes, the next 48 hours will tell. So there was white knuckle time, Greg.
All right. All right.
So I want people to know that there, the gravity, I just didn't get sick and go to the hospital.
Yeah.
I got sick and went through emergency surgery. But thanks to the great surgical team who gave me good news for now, I'm 70% through. I still have a little ways to go, but I will tell you this. Being Italian, I'm back on my feet, and being back on my feet, don't get in my way.
Uh-oh. What are you doing? Are you bullying people? Are you yelling at people?
No, I got a little ways to go, but whatever in front of me, I'm going to kick its ass. Put it that way.
I have several things to say. One, at what moment did you send me the text? Because you did send me a text that said hospitals are nice. That must have been a few days in now that I think about it.
Yes.
Because you were having your butt handed to you those first few days, and you probably weren't even thinking about talking to anybody. The second thing I liked the way you described was how if they hadn't had to pump out your stomach of all that stuff, that they would have, in these are your words, they would have slashed me open right there. So I have this vision of like in the hallway, and the guy doesn't, they don't even give you anything. They just like goes at it. That's, by the way, not how they do it over there at OSF. Yeah. But I liked that vision for a second.
It's like a MASH episode.
Well, a member of my family was on the phone with someone in the room, okay? And they're like, okay, what's happening? And they're like, well, he's going to go into surgery. Now, they had kind of talked to me about this.
Right.
My words shouted into the phone was, they're gutting me. They're gutting me.
Yes, they're gutting me. Yeah. All right. You're an interesting patient, I would imagine. You're an interesting guy to have in the room. Here's what I think people know, Danny, because it was around in that period right there where all of that was happening when you sent a message via your family members to me, because you didn't tell me directly, but you said, hey, go ahead and tell people it would be nice if they prayed for me. And so at that moment, in that window, when you said you were, you know, if you were up on the big board at the casino, there might have been a bet made against you. That's why everybody started praying for you, man. And I hope you felt all of that. I hope you felt that because everybody did.
Yes. I was reading the cards and letters, and I had people sometimes when I'm weak read the cards and letters to me, including Epic Ernie the dog, who has sent me 7 cards so far.
Wow. Yeah. Epic Ernie the dog has sent 7 cards.
Sometimes next year I got to meet Epic Ernie. Here's what I realized, Greg, and I mean this sincerely. First of all, if you read, quote-unquote, mainstream media, everyone's saying, well, the people's faith in religion is down. People are questioning their religion and God. The New Yorker said, is God dead? It's kind of like out of an Elton John song.
Right.
I'm at over 300, going on 400. The sincerity of the prayers and the card, I tell you, God and faith is not dead in our listeners. It is as strong as ever. And something occurred to me. I said to this off the air. Now, I'm going to pull back the curtain. In radio, they want you, like, first of all, they tell you, look, you're the authority. Never go on the air unless you know. Prep your show. You're putting on a show. Be ready. Be all that. And really, radio, TV, Hamlet, all that, it is a show. It's a performance. Well, Greg and I, not because we're lazy, but Greg and I come in and we don't do that. What you hear from Greg and I is Greg and I. If, and I'll give you a story. We're at a, we go to a client. We're there with the salesperson. Somebody there, they go, we're waiting for, you know, Roger to come in. And when Roger comes in, you and I are in the middle of a show at our client, and they're laughing and everything. If we came to your home, we'd be doing the show. It is absolutely genuine. And I realize, and I mean this sincerely, I don't think there is a radio show in this country that can say, you know what, it's not the Greg and Dan show. It's the Greg and Dan family. So yeah, we're a family, and Greg, you agree with that? We don't BS, and if you see us in a store or anywhere, what you hear on the radio is what you get, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and not many shows can do that. We know shows who are conservative, and we know damn well they're not conservative, but they do it for ratings and for the show. So I just want to say that, and I'm very proud of it. Now, I'm 10 years old. I'm at Catholic CCD. Sister Mary said, I want to go over something that's at the core of Catholicism. The Virgin Mary gave birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know what you're thinking. And before I converted, I was a reproductive scientist, okay? It defies all logic. It defies common sense. I know that. But when I found my faith, and it is a leap of faith, I realized the greatest, that it is the greatest miracle ever, and is at the core of faith and the leap of faith and belief that the Virgin Mary gave birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. About day 24, a doctor is going over my prognosis, which was by far the best it could be at this point, and then said a sentence that is the second greatest miracle ever in life, and we'll get to that tomorrow.
That's a good tease, brother. That's a good tease. We love you. We'll talk to you later.